welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now they're crying out to me just for me. That's who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Priests of God. We read in Revelation chapter 5, verses 2, I'm reading verse 10. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 5. Starting in verse 2, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' Verse 3, 'And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon.' Verse 4, 'And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon.' Verse 5, 'And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' Verse 6, 'And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, and had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth.' Verse 7, 'And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne.' Verse 8, 'And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints.' Verse 9, 'And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.' Verse 10, 'And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' As a priest of God, your foundation is deepened in complicated situations daily, where you have the grace to serve others. The prayers of his saints, relying on God's provision, are like sweet odors, especially at the end of their lives. God authorized a strong angel in heaven to speak loudly about the need for someone to open the book containing the seven seals, four beasts covered with eyes. Revelation 4 and verse 6, were checking those present, but no one was found worthy. So John began to weep. Fortunately, Jesus had qualified as the Lamb of God to open the book. James wrote in James chapter 5, verses 12, and I'm reading to verse 20. This is James chapter 5, starting in verse 12. "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation." Verse 13. "Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, verse 20, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. The word faults in Strong's is number 3900. It comes from another word meaning a side slip, a lapse or deviation, that is, unintentional error or willful transgression. Fault, an offense, a sin, or a trespass. When convicted, you do not need to start swearing by anything in heaven or on earth that you will do what is right next time, as God sees everything. Instead, rejoice that with so much pressure in your life, you have been called and chosen to be a priest of God. He hears the fervent, effectual prayers of those confessing their sins to other disciples on the narrow way, changing and making no excuses for sin. Faults will reappear as bad fruit if you leave them untreated. They're like cracks appearing in your foundation while you still have time to repent. The truly wise record their faults on a sin list so they can prevent a rampant outgrowth of wickedness later through repentance. James 1 and verse 21, Amplified Version, Classic Edition. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm reading verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. If you've already established Jesus as Lord in many areas, through conviction, by studying the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, you have something very precious. When you react and get angry on the inside, repent deeply, and no one will ever see you raging later. He can take you to the root issues and replace anything you have built with common sense and reason. Your spiritual foundation is widened and deepened every time you trust him with all your heart in a new area. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 and 11. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 12. I'm starting verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 6, Kingdom Living Now, on page 100, Joseph Hedgecott writes, living in the kingdom of God gives you the power to overcome your flesh and Satan. The devil cannot defeat you when you are in the Spirit. You may be wrongly accused by others, convicted by your righteousness exceeding theirs in complicated situations. Through the cross, Christ has shown every tongue and nation the way to overcome sin by trusting God with all their heart. Those trusting in the finished work of Christ, claiming single promises written in the Word that they think are relevant to their own situations, without seeking a clear conscience, are lazy. Jesus did not lower the standards in his kingdom to fill his government with kings and priests. As the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus raised the standard and gave us the Holy Spirit, so it would be absolutely impossible for anyone to reach his standards without coming to repentance and truth, using grace and truth. Priests of God live by faith and not by sight, as Jesus did, seeking righteousness right up to the end of their lives on the narrow way. We read in Isaiah 28, verses 16 and 17. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, I'm reading verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believes shall not make haste. Verse 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. The foundation of submission and obedience to God by faith in all areas was tried and tested by God's own Son, so that everyone can be sure it works. Do not make any excuses for not asking God the small things under pressure. You can build with confidence by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Luke 9 and verse 23. Everyone in his kingdom is a part-time student, even when they are a priest or a king. God doesn't have any graduates. In the Living Bible, Isaiah 28 verses 16 and 17 says, but the Lord God says, see, I'm placing a foundation stone in Zion, a firm, tested, precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. He who believes need never run away again. I will take the lion and plummet of justice to check the foundation wall you built. It looks so fine, but it's so weak a storm of hail will knock it down. The enemy will come like a flood and sweep it away, and you'll be drowned. Those using their minds to make decisions for the sake of their flesh in complicated situations will not be part of God's kingdom. Learn to hear God under pressure now by getting on the narrow way, and do not be lazy. Jews shouting, Hosanna in the highest, in Matthew 28, verses 8 and 9, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, were shouting, crucify him, a few days later, incited by the religious Jews. Peter was speaking to the Jews that killed their own Messiah in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to verse 21. This is Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The sin of resisting conviction and denying Christ under pressure cannot just be blotted out easily. Repent deeply and do not blame anyone else for you listening to a wrong voice, making it easier for your flesh in complicated situations. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Become a true yoke fellow to ensure your name will not be blotted out. Philippians 4 and verse 3. You have to overcome first to get your white garment, not just confess your sins. For nearly 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has been confessing all the names of those overcoming sin with grace and truth before his Father in heaven. He's not going to make an exception now for anyone still making excuses for sin in these last days when grace is increasing. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. This is in Hebrews chapter 9. I'm reading verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. There is power in the blood of Jesus. However, the sin of killing their own Messiah for the sake of a comfortable religious lifestyle had not been completely blotted out in the converted Jews left behind in Jerusalem. They were complaining when they should have been listening to his instructions. He can only use you for noble purposes in his kingdom now if you purge yourself of the reasons why God is only able to use you for ignoble purposes. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. As a priest of God, you will need to help others repent deeply and get a clear conscience. There are three parts to a clear conscience with God. Number one, remorse. Number two, restitution. And number three, deep repentance. You may have to write letters of apology for your poor conduct. Paul was the chief of sinners, and his actions had led to the death of many innocent believers. Writing to all those he had affected was not possible, but he started seeking a clear conscience by proving Christ from the scriptures in the synagogue. By doing this, he also obtained a testimony of God's abundant grace in fierce persecution himself to help those who were still struggling with what he did in the church. Now it's only the wicked and lazy seeking another way to get a clear conscience by keeping rules and traditions that will be left behind when Christ appears for his bride. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. This is Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 8. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Jesus emptied himself of all his divine power to be like us and rely on the Holy Spirit. What will you give up to get to know him? Be prepared to lose everything you have gained for following Christ because with any idols in your life, you will not win Christ. Those always crying over the same earthly losses for the sake of following Christ have chosen ignorance and unbelief. The kingdom is here now, by the Spirit, for the sake of those who want to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. Matthew 4 and verse 4. You may not have killed the Christ, but a hardness of heart starts with resisting the Holy Spirit for the sake of your own traditions and serving fleshly, carnal desires. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You cannot fight the good fight of faith holding on to anything in the past, natural wisdom, privileges of rank or religion, earthly comforts and monetary gain. Use both hands for the gift of eternal life, or you become a hypocrite. Faith is not just for meeting your earthly needs, but also for giving up what is hindering you living by faith now, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. If you will not let go of everything, God can make you willing. But that will take longer, so at the end you'll be barely saved years by fire. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 15. Better to strive to hear God in complicated situations now and never compromise on doing the will of God. Always listen to what God is showing you. Is an unrighteous in you through any conflict, and you'll be ready for anything through repentance. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm reading verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow is needed for you to understand fully how your sin is responsible for something eternal being delayed, lost or stolen. You'll be given eyes and ears to see how the devil got access to steal opportunities, stop the word of reconciliation from spreading through you, and hinder the truth about trusting God. Worldly sorrow leading to death is based on thinking what might happen to you personally in terms of earthly gain, position, reputation, or rank. James said in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, this is in the book of James, chapter 4, I'm reading verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Do not try to cleanse your hands like Pontius Pilate did in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24. Instead, seek another opportunity to do what you should have done in an equally complicated situation. Purify your hearts by doing what is righteous when surrounded by others behaving as badly as you were before. James 1 and verse 21. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. The devil will lift you up by turning you into a hypocrite first, to help others serve sin. James was writing to the first fruits of the new covenant that experienced the goodness of God, doing the will of God, scattered in other countries through persecution. With the pressure off, the converted Jews were laughing in complicated situations instead of seeking a clear conscience. If you have become a comfortable Christian, you may need to do your first works again. God doesn't have any graduates. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You cannot be an ambassador of the faith if your life is not changing. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Never compare yourself with anyone else. You may have to appear like a castaway, as Jesus did for a period of time, who was perfect, but made sin for us. To whom much is given, much is expected. Luke 12 and verse 48. Paul, looking like a castaway, exposed the Corinthians were using their minds to come to the truth. Seek righteousness by agreeing to do whatever God says by the Spirit, like a little child beforehand, if you want to do the things God's way. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm reading verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Verse 6. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Verse 7. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The word virtue in Strong's is number 703. It comes from another word meaning properly manliness, valor. That is excellence. It means something of praise or virtue. A record is kept of what you have done with grace and truth up to now. You should be using the gift of eternal life to learn from your own mistakes. Restitution is repairing or replacing anything equivalent to loss or causing damage. Luke 19 verses 7 and 8. It's also the act of seeking to do what you failed to do earlier without excellence and manliness. Only those with a testimony of overcoming trials and difficulties by seeking righteousness have the true knowledge of the Son of God and will not fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. We read in Matthew chapter 11 verses 25 to 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I read verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, O Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In each Jewish city, Jesus had perhaps a single visit that was not advertised or well publicized in advance. But led by the Spirit, he still met all the people the Father wanted him to meet, and they got healed. Jesus was upbraiding the Jewish cities that did not repent of doing dead works after seeing these things. Matthew 11 and verse 20. The wicked will get no rest from reaping the consequences of sin through the flesh or in hell if they do not repent. Those that say you do not need to ask God the small things are liars. Yoke yourself to Christ now, and every opinion, good idea, or dead work will cause you some pain and deep regret so that you can identify it and repent. Paul wrote about the office of a bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm reading verses 4 to 7. This is 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 4. One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Verse 5. For if any man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Verse 6. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. The word novice in Strong's is number 3504. It comes from two other words, which means newly planted. That is, figuratively, a young convert. A priest of God should have a testimony of ruling his own household well, with grace and truth. A novice in the church can be lifted up in pride by making judgments instead. God alone is the judge of all, who sees the end from the beginning. He also gave authority to Jesus to judge because he was faithful to the truth and never used his mind to make any judgments. John 5:30. Those with a mature relationship are aware that there is only grace to speak the truth that he wants them to say in complicated situations with the gift of eternal life. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 15 to 17. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 7. I'm reading verse 15. And it's yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, verse 16, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life, verse 17. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus qualified in the order of Melchizedek as our high priest by shedding his own blood for our sakes and dying in our place. He did not need forgiveness himself, nor was Jesus a descendant of Aaron. He became our high priest under grace, justified by God, who raised him from the dead at the end, because he did not sin. Everyone born again, using grace and truth to do the perfect will of God in complicated situations, can qualify as kings and priests in his kingdom. Paul was speaking about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 to 28. This is Hebrews chapter 7. I'm reading verse 24. But this man, because he continues ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Verse 27. Who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Verse 28. For the law makes men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, makes the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. God is able to prepare you for the unexpected. Those trying to be justified by keeping the law, Jewish traditions, or just confessing their sins in the new covenant fall short of the grace they need to repent. Galatians 5 and verse 4. Sanctification takes place in those using their ability to hear, trust, and obey the Holy Spirit consistently. On the narrow way, you will get what you need submitted to God by following His instructions. You will feel vulnerable and not always have amazing gifts to cast out demons. Paul discovered that his grace was sufficient when asking God to take away a thorn in the flesh in his own life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 10 to 13. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 starting in verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. Verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. If you have something lacking in your faith, remember there is nothing repentance cannot fix. The Christian life is not a case of just repenting once. Paul discovered abounding grace just trying to help the churches he was visiting. God is in the process of using anything and everything to help those born again in the last days that are running out of time. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 13 verses 24 and 25. This is Luke's gospel, chapter 13, I'm reading verse 24. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door and saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Only the narrow way leads to life. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. The small amount of pressure following Christ reveals sins that need dealing with early. The entrance to the narrow way is not just a mere change of mind, but marked by an anguish over sin. After waking up to the bad fruit appearing in your own life, make a fresh start. Stay on the narrow way and keep repenting whatever is exposed through the pressure until Jesus comes. When you see something passing away, rejoice, because that is proof he knows where you are now and that you have been working out your salvation through repentance on the narrow way. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, verses 46 to 48. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 5, and reading verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Verse 47. And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so do? Verse 48. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 5, and verse 48 says, you therefore must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God does not need politicians or plumbers in a perfect kingdom where everything is solved by obeying the Holy Spirit. Being perfect means reaching some level of godliness in mind and character under pressure. Do not become lazy or offended at God, because the truth is your flesh does not want to become perfect by submitting to God. You will not become a priest of God without being perfect. What other eternal vocations are there except kings and priests? We read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. This is the book of Revelation chapter 20. I'm reading verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You do not become a priest of God by studying theology at Bible school. You have to be part of the first resurrection. to be a priest of Christ, you have to use the grace and truth he provided to grow spiritually, John 1:17, and the gift of eternal life, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 11. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 6, Kingdom Living Now, on page 103, Joseph Hedgecott writes, if you want to reign with Christ, you are required to suffer in some way. This truth is rarely preached today because many believers focus on being comfortable in this life rather than being prepared for eternity. If you refuse to suffer, you are disqualified from reigning with Jesus. To live with him, your flesh needs to be dead in situations where you would want to react. Learn to hear his voice clearly now under pressure, so that you do not deny him later in complicated situations. Paul also wrote in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. This is Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Verse 3. And this we will do if God permit. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Verse 5. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Verse 6. If they shall fall away, to renew them again under repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. The word perfection in Strong's is number 5047. It comes from another word meaning the state, the completeness, mentally or morally, or perfectness. New converts put outside Jerusalem looking for a shortcut to holiness had doubts about perfection, like the church today. Those with doubts about such a great salvation have let things slip of how God uses everything to help us grow spiritually and repent deeply. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. The new converts, listening to their own flesh, thought it would be easier just to go back to the temple and make peace with their persecutors. Those put outside Jerusalem in humble circumstances were in a safer place than the rebellious religious Jews resisting conviction when the temple and the city was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 to 17. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Verse 11. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled we bless, being persecuted we suffer it. Verse 13. Being defamed we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14. I write these things to not to shame you, but as beloved sons I warn you. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have yet not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring on you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul had no written down instructions for anyone to follow except a few letters. His life, however, was a letter read of all men, and he wanted others to follow his example. The gospel had spread rapidly through the converted Jews, acknowledging God in all their ways under pressure. Paul was teaching his ways in Christ in all the churches. Paul never got a break from being the offscouring of all things, so that they could understand how to abide under that kind of pressure. Paul obtained godly wisdom based on the issues he went through and was concerned about the carnal Corinthians that were not following his example. They had instructors giving advice like mere infants, since the leaders themselves were only babes in Christ. Timothy was sent to remind the Corinthians how Paul overcame, even though he was not qualified to teach on this himself. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. This is Philippians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul knew Christ up to a certain level, but also knew that if the pressure ever increased, he would depart from the faith and listen to the flesh without the grace of God. Everyone's foundation is being shaken now, ready for his appearing. Those that work on what they are shown through conviction will be given more grace and truth to be ready in time. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 3, I'm reading to verse 12. This is Isaiah 55, starting in verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Verse 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not again, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You will serve sin and disobey God unless you repent of using your mind to come to the truth. Avoid procrastination while he's near. Otherwise, you'll become dull of hearing and have issues with God through ignorance. How many more invitations or signs do you need to wake up? God does not need your good ideas or opinions. Do you have doubts that Jesus is the best? James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 12. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. When he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. To qualify as a priest of God, you will have to endure temptation to do anything based on what you see in this world. You will not always get forgiveness for doing something you cannot get permission from God to do now. No one will be forgiven blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which you can commit if you keep resisting conviction. And the messengers of repentance God sends, like the prophets, as the religious Jews did. Matthew 12, verse 31, Mark 12, verse 32, and Luke 12, and verse 10. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 to 20 says this. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We are, as Christ's personal representative, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, which we ought to be approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. And that is as never have any outstanding issues with God, because his ways are higher than man's and his solutions through repentance are better. You do not have any problems with his claims on your personal life and how he wants to use you as a living sacrifice to help someone else repent or come under conviction. Meditate on the fact that Jesus' life was shortened and he was treated like a criminal for our sakes, so that we all can make a fresh start and repent deeply of denying him. You may not deny him now, but you might do that when your flesh gets uncomfortable serving the living God. Ambassadors operate in a nearby country that is not their own. Those always using earthly wisdom all the time to solve spiritual issues are not God's ambassadors. Priests of God pass through trials and difficulties and ask God what to do in complicated situations. Paul wrote this in 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 to 10. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Timothy was a man of God and had to flee anything that could potentially affect his spiritual foundation already laid through repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Choose wisely between many earthly sorrows or the godly sorrow that you need for a strong spiritual foundation. The devil will get you to believe a lie that there is still some good in you. What you gained by asking God at the beginning of your life stopped you from getting what you wanted, when you wanted, in this world. Now, through faith, pursue what is necessary to be priests of God by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Your response to losing earthly comforts cannot be the same as the response of an unbeliever. Those not content with food and clothes are in danger of pursuing the wrong things. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, what dead works did you have to purge yourself from through repentance to serve the living God? Number two, what are some of the most disqualifying factors for those hoping to be priests of God in his kingdom? And number three, what does it mean to go on to perfection, and what has God provided to help you do this practically? If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about being a priest of God. There is forgiveness for being lazy, but you'll end up with a shallow foundation spiritually if you keep listening to your flesh again and again. The devil will help you pursue the wrong things through the lust of the flesh. Stay comfortable. Do dead works instead. You will blame others and follow ways that seem right all the way that lead to destruction, your destruction, if you don't repent. Only those who have deeply repented hear, trust, and obey the instructions of the Master consistently in complicated situations. They're the ones that go on to perfection and become priests of God. If you want to make a fresh start, humble yourself and repent of dead works. And once your foundation is laid and established, God can raise you up. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll be raising up people from this message. And as they've heard these things and meditate and study the scriptures that I've shared, that, Father, they will embrace the truth and conviction that you are wanting them to hear now. And that they will be faithful in what they've heard, so they'll be faithful in much. In Jesus' name. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please contact us. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you.